The Bank of Japan tweaks its policy stance, and what more can consumers do to reduce their plastic footprints? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivian Nunes. Good morning. Wall Street looked to the world's third largest economy today as Japan's central bank unveiled its latest policy decision, opting to make no significant changes. It was a move that took some investors by surprise, as Viraj Patel at ING explains.
When you look at the fundamentals, when you look at the fact that the Bank of Japan downgraded their inflation forecasts, the global economy is at a tipping point with the global trade wars, now wasn't the right time to be making any major policy shifts. I think the message from today was that actually it's all about making this super easy Bank of Japan policy that we're used to much more sustainable and durable over the long term.
We saw the bank introduce forward guidance by saying that rates will stay at low levels for an extended period of time. That is the key, isn't it? And interestingly, this was the first time we're hearing that kind of forward guidance from the BOJ.
Yeah, it was an almost borrowed reference from the ECB. We saw something similar a couple of weeks ago and a month ago when the ECB also made a very similar reference to keeping rates lower for longer. I think that's the key for central banks here. When it comes to potential questions over normalisation and seeing what the Federal Reserve are doing, I think these central banks want to reiterate that actually rates in these countries are expected to stay lower for longer just because of the prevailing economic conditions. They warrant low interest rates.
And if we just step back, why is it that economists watch the Japanese economy and movements by the BOJ so closely?
When the Bank of Japan, given that they are seen to be the last to sort of ever move in terms of policy normalization, I think it's important to use them as a benchmark for where things are in the global economy. What the Bank of Japan and the ECB have been doing over the past couple of years in terms of buying bonds have naturally put pressure on global bond yields. So keeping a lid on global bond yields across the world, where we to see any subtle changes from the Bank of Japan, that may start to see some pressure in longer-term interest rates across the world moving higher. We're not just quite seeing that yet.
Viraj Patel. Let's do the numbers. Prices on Japanese government bonds have rallied in the wake of the BOJ's decision. Yields have dropped. Today's move unwinds last week's rise in yields, which was fueled by speculation the central bank would make major changes to its policy. Meanwhile, data on the European economy showed second quarter growth in the Eurozone slowed to its weakest pace in 2 years. There has been a bit of a shock on UK car manufacturing numbers. New figures show production in June for the domestic market plunged 47%. A lot of that is down to what the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders, or SMMT, calls a one-month anomaly. But then, of course, there's the separate but also worrying impact of Brexit, another headache for the car industry. The BBC's Philip Hampshire reports.
UK consumers are a little nervous and holding on to their pennies. At the same time as that, we've new models of cars out shortly, concerns about government taxation of diesel engines, so people all have many reasons to hang on just a couple of months and defer their spending. Then, of course, in addition to that, there's the question of Brexit or the UK's withdrawal from the European Union. While domestic demand for vehicles was down by the shocking headline number, 8 out of 10 cars made in Britain go overseas, and it's here the Brexit issue looms large for car makers. The SMMT's boss, Mike Hawes, says the reliance of the UK market on exports shows the dependency on free and frictionless trade. He also said any disruption to this due to Brexit risks undermining this. He's even been as blunt as to say UK car makers are not ready for Brexit. In London, I'm the BBC's Philip Hampshire for Marketplace.
Imagine a truck of plastic being upturned and shaken into the sea every minute of the day. That's how much new plastic is leaking into our oceans, and just one of the findings from a new book called Turning the Tide on Plastic. I asked author Lucy Siegel what she found most shocking when researching the book.
I think the quantity of plastics that are flooding into our lives, that was the thing that really shocked me. So 320 million tons of plastic is being pushed out onto the market each year. And the thing that really shocked me kind of psychologically is that obviously it's all on our shoulders. So between 2002 and 2012, more plastic was produced than at any other time on Earth.
People may feel overwhelmed, though, about these warnings. What can they do in their own lives to actually make a difference?
if you are in an industrialized economy and a supermarket culture where you buy your groceries swathed in plastic, you have a big plastic footprint. You didn't ask for it, but you do. And that's actually a useful thing because you can really make a dent in the flow of plastic coming into your lives. You can take control of what comes into your life because ultimately you are paying for it. As a citizen of the world, it is very important to understand how you are linked to the plastic pandemic. One of the best ways of doing this is to get involved in a beach clean. Millions of people have gone out over the last 2 years onto beaches, removing plastic litter from the shores. The biggest beach clean in the world is in Mumbai, on a beach in Mumbai, when they get thousands upon thousands of people coming out to clean that beach.
Millions of people around the world rely on fish stocks for their livelihoods. And there's also a concern where plastic in the waterways will get into fish and into the food chain.
Yes, we have considerable amount of evidence that plastic has entered the food web. And once we see that these pieces of plastic are ingested, that gives us a real problem because animals seem to prefer pieces of plastic to protein sources, and then they have no energy. So you have this awful situation where animals are dying with full stomach. They're starving with full stomachs full of plastic. And at that point, we have to ask ourselves some really critical questions about the food web, because that intervention means that the food web is threatened.
Lucy Siegel. And while you might send your kids to summer camp, the world's richest heirs are attending workshops on how to stay wealthy. UBS, Credit Suisse and Morgan Stanley are among the banks hosting events for millionaire millennials this summer. In London, I'm Vivian Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.